You're listening to Heartstock Radio. This is Carol Murphy. And once again, we're very happy that you're here. And we've got a program this evening for you coming up. Our guest is Jessica Den from Tino's Drop-In in Bozeman. It sounds kind of like something for kids, doesn't it? The mystery will unfold here in just a moment. And Jessica will be with us. Thanks for listening. Be right back. Enjoy.
I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and ran, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of a diamond dance. And all around me, a voice was sounding. This land was made for you and me.
Hey, you're listening to Heartstock Radio. This is Carol Murphy. This evening, we have a great program, and we're going to be speaking with Jessica Den. She's the founder and owner of Dino Drop-In, which is a unique preschool and daycare in Bozeman, and she's going to tell us all about it. She's also a past participant of Innovate Her. And I'm not going to tell you too much about that just yet, but she will tell us all about it and her experience participating. Jessica, hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you so much for being here. Please tell our listeners who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm Jessica Dean, and I founded Dino Drop-In in 2016. We've lived in Bozeman for about 15 years, and I have two sons with a third one due anytime.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. Trying to get through a last couple business things before he comes, but we'll see what happens.
So you're expecting a baby boy?
A baby boy,
oh,
yes.
That is just awesome. And So you are extra super busy, which
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll get to that because I would really like to share a little bit about your experiences, a mom and a super entrepreneur. This is not your first rodeo. You've had previous ventures, but let's start out by just telling a little bit about your personal story and how it is that you became a female entrepreneur.
Sure. My first entrepreneurial experience, I always kind of looked at the world a little differently than others I was surrounded with. My parents had jobs for, 20 to 40 years each, and I never quite fit that mold. And of course, the world was changing during the time I was growing up as well. In my late teens, I started my first business. I knew I liked to work with kids. And I had babysat a lot, but pay was, $1 to $3 an hour back then. And I'm aging myself right now. and I decided, that wasn't for me. I couldn't really get ahead very quickly that way. So I started a business taking kids out of daycares and taking them on adventures. It was called Kids Adventures. I would use my car and I would take up to three kids because that's how many car seats I could fit. And we would go... it was a very small town in northern Minnesota. So we would go on these great adventures to like the ditch to pick flowers or someone's backyard to the petting zoo. The more you amped it up for the kids and made it exciting for them, it didn't really matter where you went. It was more creating the illusion of the adventure than, actually having a destination in mind. So we had a great time. And I could kind of charge a premium for that because kids were getting bored in the summers in their daycares and their parents were willing to spend a little extra one or two days once in a while to have them, kind of be appeased since they were, you know, out of school and, mm-hmm. and getting restless.
So. I want to go.
Yeah. Especially when I'm telling you the story of what the awesome thing we're going to do is.
So pick flowers, really? I want to go.
Yeah. So that was my first adventure. And then, you know, I worked for government agencies and nonprofits for quite some time, like cities. I was a lifeguard for the city and just kind of got my experience work. And then I ended up in the school district right out of college. And I never thought I would do for-profit. I thought, you know, my calling is to be of service to my community, and I don't really see how for-profit does that. I couldn't quite understand that until I was a little older and had worked in economic development briefly, and I saw how for-profit businesses could actually have a bigger impact on society than nonprofits in a lot of ways, because you had the capital to change your surroundings. It was more available. Instead of going in and asking for money to do your mission, you could earn the money to do whatever mission you decided. And that really drove me into the for-profit startup sector.
Yes, I love that. And you're not the first person that we've interviewed who has kind of had that same evolution. So what brought you to Bozeman?
You know, I graduated, well, I didn't graduate college. I took a long break between my junior and senior year and moved around the country a bit, and ended up happenstance in Bozeman, and decided this is where I wanted to stay. So it was before online school was the norm or as popular it is today. So I had to run back to Minneapolis, finish my degree, and then I came out here to do my master's.
Nice.
And I have never left.
Nice.
So
yes.
I don't know that there's anywhere better than Bozeman, Montana. Mm-hmm. I haven't found it yet. So Stick with it here.
Well, except for Butte. Yes, I'm in love with Bozeman also. Yeah. So tell us a little bit, and I promise not to call it Dino Drop-In again. Tell us about Dino Drop-In. And it's been a while since we talked about your venture, and it sounds like it's really doing well. So I'm excited to hear what's going on.
Sure. Like I kind of mentioned at the beginning, I live my life a little bit outside of tradition. And so I wake up every morning just trying to figure out what the next right thing is to do. I always knew I wouldn't quite do the standard or, you know, go into a corporation and work for the rest of my life. So I wake up and I try to do the next right thing. And one day, the next right thing happened to be taking my boys, who were 2 and 4 at the time, up to Highlight, which is just outside of Bozeman, to go sledding. And as we were sledding with another mom and, well, several other moms, one of them asked my husband if he knew anyone that liked to do business and knew how to do business. And he rolled his eyes because, of course, he said, no one more than my wife. Because for fun, I would go to startup weekend. And instead of fiction books, I read business books. And that's just who I am. And so he was just like, well, gosh, the obvious answer. Anyway, that was like mid-December of 2015. And over the holidays, because this is what I think is fun, I ran cash flow analysis on a couple of different business ideas she had. And we came together on January 6th to sign a partnership agreement and start Dino Drop-In. We also got a small loan from her parents at that time. That's why she had been interested. She had access to capital and she just needed someone who would know more about starting a business than she had experienced.
And why this business, though? I mean, I love it.
You know,
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, it was something that as young moms, we both needed. She was a stay-at-home mom, kind of looking to do something as her kids got a little bit older. And I had tried to stay home when my second son was born. And while I was home for 2 months, I started several businesses and went back to school for coaching. So I was incapable of being a stay-at-home mom. I just started more businesses as I went. So, and then because of those experiences, we had experienced the challenge of not needing full-time daycare, but wanting to, like, you know, hang out with our friends once in a while or go to a business meeting once in a while without our kids in tow. And relatives often fill that gap. less and less, actually, because we live farther apart from our families often now. And, you know, C and I have both had experiences having babysitters fall through at the last moment or not being able to get the appointment done that we were trying to. So we really knew what it was like to not have as much family support around and need, you know, kind of temporary or sporadic care for our children. And we were both, you know, pretty into like attachment parenting and different styles of parenting where we weren't okay with a standard drop-in model, which is often like a McDonald's playland with just large motor skills being developed, or maybe a TV in a corner and just not really trained teachers. So we wanted to create something that was as enriching as a preschool, but not with the commitments that preschools require.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
So tell us a little bit about what you're up to and how your model is unique and different.
Sure. Well, kind of as the business developed, some other opportunities arose in her life, and we decided, she moved about 5 hours away. So we decided to break up the partnership. That was definitely challenging, but it really allowed me to grow the business more easily, because with one person making decisions versus two, you do lose some innovation or some like
speed.
It's nice to have someone to bounce off things, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you can move more quickly in a lot of ways because you're not always having to check in with each other. So I bought her portion of the business in October 2016 and then opened a second location in the end of January 2017. So right away, I opened a second location. We had grown quickly in Bozeman, and Belgrade had a definite need for alternative daycare. So we built our second location out there. And then just this past November in 2017, I opened a third location in South Bozeman, about 4 miles from the first. So we've been really busy. My husband is definitely, he doesn't officially own any part of the business, although he asks a lot to do that. We have other plans for him. And he basically can build whatever I ask for and does whatever I ask. When we open a new location, the build out is pretty quick.
It's a big honey-do list.
Yeah, he has serious honey-do lists. Sometimes I give him months and months off in between. But the first location we opened 2 months after signing the rental agreement. The second location, I gave him 1 month to renovate. And the third location, I gave him 2 weeks to renovate. Oh. So I'm not sure. I mean, it needed less work. But at the same time, he's definitely on my team and willing to do whatever it takes to move the business forward and make me happy. So I'm pretty lucky.
I'll see. So you mentioned the training that your teachers receive. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And yeah, just what makes you unique?
Sure. Well, we hire teachers based on the same standards as licensed caregivers. So although drop-ins are not required to follow the same licensing guidelines that the rest of daycares are required to follow, we do it by choice because it's prudent and it's good business practice and it's the right thing to do. So a lot of the challenges that happen with drop-ins is they're not required to follow those, and so they don't have as high quality staffing. But we require our teachers to go to ongoing training. We have proprietary training that we give them as well, which is, you know, related to the way that myself and at the beginning, my partner parented. Like we wanted to be treated as parents bringing our children into a daycare. We wanted to have the autonomy to make decisions for our children, even though we were placing them in the care of another person. And some traditional daycares do that, and others are very much, you know, we do it this way and your family needs to adjust to us. And that's just something that never rang true for me. And I think it's more work for our teachers to adjust to each family's specific need, but that's what I believe is right. So it might be a little more work, but we'd rather do it that way.
And probably easier for the kids, especially if they're having a little separation anxiety, I would think.
Yes, absolutely. If they need, you know, to be rocked to sleep instead of just placed in a crib, then then we do that. If they need other, you know, prompts, we definitely work with the parents one-on-one too, if a child is having challenges, to make sure we're using just even the same words to describe something, because they're young and their vocabularies are just developing, and even using the same phrase to get your point across can help a little two-year-old to be able to understand from caregiver to caregiver.
Okay, so this is kind of our halfway point, and we're going to take just a quick little music break, and we'll be right back. Joining us, this is Heartstock Radio. I'm Carol Murphy. This evening we have Jessica Den, and she's quite the entrepreneur. I was very impressed the very first time I met you, Jessica. And I'm not surprised that you got to go to Innovate Her. Tell us a little bit about that experience, please.
Sure. I mean, it was pretty shocking to be selected in any of the rounds. Actually, there were actually three rounds. The first round was just regions of the country. I think 150 made it through to that round. And I hadn't really even remembered specifically applying. I know now, after I thought it through, that I got an invitation to apply and shot off my application one day last February.
Who did that? Sorry to interrupt, but I want to kind of back this up a little bit for our listeners so that they know and understand a little bit more about Innovate Her. And what exactly is the challenge, and who invited you to apply?
So the Innovate Her challenge was looking for businesses started by women that were innovative in their field and could provide a good economic impact on women, allowing them to follow their dreams and better their lives. It had to be scalable and it had to be commercializable. So those were kind of the three aspects that presented the challenge. And then, you know, it was either Blackstone Launchpad or a Facebook post that I saw. I just know I saw kind of a, like, have you seen this from someone? And I can't remember exactly who, and I've searched and I can't figure it out. So,
and there's prize money involved.
There was prize money. Yeah, that was super exciting. Although I never thought I would make it that far, for sure. So the first round, you know, was just like an online application. And I probably took 5 to 15 minutes to jot down my thoughts about my business and what I was trying to do. And then I got chosen for the region of Montana. I don't know exactly how big it was, but I think there was like maybe many applicants for this area. Yep. At that point, Blackstone Launchpad, which is a part of MSU, Jake Jobs College of Business, they helped me to submit an application for the national competition. And 150 applicants were in that round. And that was a little more intense. And like, they wrote me a letter of support, and I had to put together a pretty detailed business plan specific to this. And at that point, I thought, well, this was all fun. You know, I'm proud to be the representative from Bozeman, but probably this is the last I'll hear of it. And Tiffany Lynn, who is working at Blackstone Launchpad at the time, was so sure I was going to win. Like, she just kept telling me, you're totally going to DC. And I kept telling her, okay, well, I'll trust you, but you know, I think you maybe are just too excited. And so anyway, she was confident the whole time, and the deadline for them telling us went by and all of this happened. And then that was in July. And in September, I get a call while I'm at work with the kiddos from Washington, D.C. And I didn't believe, I thought they were a scammer. I just didn't believe that that's who it was. And they told me I was invited to come to Washington, D.C. to pitch for up to $40,000 in prizes. And so, of course, I started crying in front of all the kids and said, I will come and just let me know what to do next. And then I called my husband and cried more. And we started making our plans to go to DC. And for that round of the competition, so that was round three, Blackstone Launchpad helped me again to hone my presentation. I got help from all over the community. I mean, Prospera stepped up and several of my business colleagues in other industries stepped up just to like support me and cheer me on and help me practice. So we went to DC in October and I pitched again. I mean, it was just awe-inspiring to see who was there. They were mostly doctors and PhDs who had invented things way more difficult than childcare. They were all super innovative. It was like humbling to be in that crowd of women. There were 10 of us with super diverse ideas, from things to help jaundiced babies to reconstructive surgery for victims of breast cancer. I mean, there was just really some interesting things, and I presented and got second place. So that was, I was again, kind of cried and whatever else, because it was pretty amazing to be in that company you know, be recognized for innovating in a way that could really have an impact on other women, like the ones I got to present with. So,
and how much money did you win?
I won $20,000.
That's amazing. And what did
that was a bonus.
Yes. What did that $20,000 do for you and your business?
Well, it provided a cushion that startups often don't have the luxury of having, to be able to grow without as much anticipation. Or, you know, I don't carry a whole lot of capital, and childcare isn't an industry where you make a huge margin on your services. So it's really allowed me to expand beyond what I had even planned in that business plan that I sent in for the competition. I had really stretched as far as I thought I could go in that business plan presentation. And then this allowed me to go even further, because after coming back and getting some recognition, I had people calling me about franchising. And I thought that was maybe 4 more years down the road. And it turns out I'll probably be able to complete that sometime mid-2018 and start recruiting franchisees from several states around the country.
That's very exciting. So it definitely sounds like it created some scale, some rapid scale for your company.
Right.
And that's always a good thing, because especially if you're bootstrapping, I mean, it sounds like you got some capital from your previous partner, but when you bought her out, was that a stretch for you? Did you have to, I mean, I don't want to go into your personal nitty gritty details, but I know how difficult this financial aspect is. It's a challenge.
Yeah. I mean, in having a business that's only 7 months old and going to a bank and asking for money is much more, I mean, I just didn't think they'd ever consider it. And luckily, our cash flows were good enough from the beginning. Like, every location has been profitable by month 3, which is
amazing.
Super rare for startups. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been part of other ones and sometimes they never cash flow.
Yes.
So it was really a testament to the support of the community and the need for this model that we were even bankable at month 7.
Yeah.
And then to be able to, you know, buy her portion of the remaining loan, buy her out, and then take on the portion of the remaining loan yeah, that was pretty surprising in and of itself. But it has to do with community support. And, you know, I knew the banker. I had done, you know, I volunteer for a lot of things, even though I'm very busy. And it's about relationships, I think. You know, you put in the time being good to your community and they treat you that way back. I don't think it's necessarily, I think I do get lucky, but I don't think it's all about luck. I think it's, you know, when you're being a good steward of your blessings, then mm-hmm. often you're able to ask things of people that maybe wouldn't be possible otherwise.
And a good plan. So yeah. We've got a couple minutes left. I was hoping we could do these two things before we have to say goodbye. And that is words of advice that you may have for other women who have great ideas as entrepreneurs, and also how listeners may contact you.
Sure. You know, it took me a long time to figure out an idea, and I always kind of knew I wanted to go into business and I really wanted to do my own thing, but I had a lot of lessons to learn. So I would say, you know, having a fair amount of patience, and then when the opportunity arises, just doing what's in front of you. I don't operate with a lot of fear. I mean, and there's times, if you would have told me at the beginning I would have 15 employees that I was supporting, I would have said, no, thank you. But it's no big deal today. You know, I know that we can do that. So I think, you know, trying to just have faith in the fact that you're going to be able to do it and keep moving forward as if, even on days when it seems scarier, is my advice. And then to contact me, you can either, you can reach me through my website or by email at jessica@dinodropin.com. It's probably the best way.
Excellent. And I know it's a long drive, but if you're really in need of childcare, you know where to go.
Yeah. We get a lot of people on vacation in Bozeman, Montana.
Well, yeah,
so
that's a very good point.
I do have customers from many states around the country.
Ah, that's a good point.
Heartstock Radio is a production of KBMF 102.5, Butte America Radio. Hear our live programs every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time via live stream at butteamericaradio.org.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream Wars. This land was made for you and me. As I was walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of a diamond dance. And all around me a voice was sad. This land was made.